Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. The Sick Podcast. With Tony Marinaro.
55 seconds left in the penalty, a minute and 27 seconds left in regulation time. Boston 4, Montreal 3. Lafleur coming out rather gingerly on the right side. He gives it into Lemaire, back to Lafleur. Oh!
The Sickest Montreal Canadiens Podcast.
There is a bomb!
Sports entertainment like no other.
Rejoint, on lui fait perdre la rondelle, une passe devant. Et c'est la bonne! Et ce sera la victoire des Canadiens. Stanley pour les Canadiens. Le 23e de l'histoire.
You found the dogs! John, you found the dogs! He found the dogs!
And all together, they worked a young team to the top. And now, a 24th Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup!
Brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La B.TB. It's gonna be sick.
Marinaro on this Tuesday, March 14. It is 2 minutes past 10 p.m. And wow, the Montreal Canadiens did it. Losing streak ends at 7 straight losses. They go into Pittsburgh and they defeat the Pittsburgh Penguins. This one was close, but when all was said and done, the Montreal Canadiens win by a score of 6-4. The Penguins certainly had their shots, 43 of them. They certainly scored on the power play, 2-4. They certainly had their scoring chances. They dominated in the faceoff circle, winning 69% of the draws. But I've never seen the Montreal Canadiens be more opportunistic than they were tonight, especially in the first period. It was probably their most opportunistic period I have ever seen in my life. And I've been watching this team ever since I was like 6.5 years old. In period number one, the Canadiens had 4 goals on 7 shots. I repeat, 4 goals on 7 shots. Now, statistically, there was probably a period in the history of this Montreal Canadiens organization that was more opportunistic. Probably, but it's almost hard to believe. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is a record. The Sick Podcast brought to you in part by Energy. There we go. Transportation Group, a leading full-service logistics provider serving all of North America, driven to be different. By the way, they're not in the beverage industry, okay? They're in the transport industry, but they're really nice people, and they gave me a beautiful backpack with some swag, and among the swag, this beautiful water bottle, which I take with me wherever I go. As a matter of fact, I brought it to the gym today to watch my wife work out. I was in the lobby. They have very, very good Wi-Fi there. And also brought to you by La Bit ATB, a winner of a dozen international awards. La Bit ATB offers quality microbrewery beers made with premium ingredients for everyone's taste. La Bit ATB, embrace your true nature. I think I stumbled there because I got rattled, because I'm rattled and I'm razzled and I'm whatever you want to call it, because I'm really excited about tonight's guest. She's appeared on the Sick Podcast before, but she was sharing duties there with Marc-André Perrault of TVA Sports. So it was, it was her, him, and me. Tonight, it's just me and her. Daphné Malbeuf.
Hey there, Tony.
Of BPM Sports Radio, and she also works television for the other guys. All right.
How you do? Wow. The least I can say is that I haven't seen you that much energetic in a very long time. And it's not because this show is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Okay. Tony!
Yeah.
You're in great shape.
Yes, well.
Watch the game, you're excited.
Spiritually, yes. Physically, no.
I was surprised, though, that you were saying that you went to the gym.
Yeah.
And you just said after that it was because you were in the
Because of the Wi-Fi, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you having there?
A coffee.
A coffee to stay up. You know, a lot of people don't drink coffee at night.
You know what? Decaf? No. I need this.
Oh, you need it.
Vrai café.
Vrai café, so.
I wake up at 3.
We're gonna send you Fantini Coffee. Ooh. Another proud sponsor of the Sick Podcast. Cafe Fantini, in my opinion, you know, one of the best espressos, you know, one of the best coffees in the country. In the country.
I would love that. The country. All right.
Yes. So I'm going to now, do you have a espresso machine at home by any chance?
Yeah.
Okay. You have an automatic one, a semi-automatic one where you just press a button, or what kind of machine do you have? Or you just have
I have to moudre mon grain all by myself.
You have to moudre your grain. Okay. That means what? You need grounded coffee? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I need the grounded coffee.
You need grounded coffee. Okay. Yeah. So no problem. So I have
losing
the beans.
My English.
No, don't worry about it. Your English is better than my French, but it's a beautiful thing because I'm making a really nice living off it speaking franglais. It's working out. I'm in a good mood, not because the Canadians won, because everyone knows I'd rather they lose. The only part of me that's in a good mood because the Canadians won is because my buddy Jean-Charles Lajoie earlier today took the Pittsburgh Penguins to beat the Montreal Canadiens. So that part of me is happy. Mind you, I took Boston over Chicago, and right now it's tied at 1 with 4 minutes to go in period number 2. So I'm hoping the Bruins can pull this one off. But I'm happy because you're on.
And I'm so
That's
happy.
Why I'm happy.
You know, I
wore this shirt just for you.
And I was just about to say this.
Okay.
For me, you wore that t-shirt. I'm so honored. But you and I, we go back to a long time back. And I'm so glad that we can work again together.
Yes. Yeah, so we used to work for an English all-sports radio station where I was working on the air, and I believe you were interning at that point. Is
I
that
was
correct?
Interning, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you were there for how long?
It was supposed to be 3 months, then it was 6 months, I think.
Okay, and why did you leave?
Because I didn't have no time at all after that, because it was my last year of university.
Yeah.
And then I went to work for Jean-Charles just after that.
Yeah.
So it was my first job in the sports media.
Yeah.
And it was just like about 2 months before I graduated. So I took the job and I did my exams and everything on the weekends during the nighttime also.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was why I left.
Yeah.
I didn't have any time to work there anymore.
Yeah, but look,
the rest
is
history.
Once you decided to work in this business full time, they should have scooped you up. But anyway, they didn't. And Jean-Charles did, and you're on BPM Sport on Premier Comptoir with him between Monday and Friday. And you start at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then he comes in at 6 a.m. and you stay with him all the way until 9 a.m.
So I'm there for the warm-up.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm doing the warm-up all by myself because, you know, Jean-Charles thinks that he doesn't need a warm-up.
He's a
all
prima
good.
Donna.
All fine.
Prima donna.
Absolutely. I have the ice time for me all by myself. So I'm good with that. And then we're together for the next 3 hours.
Excellent show.
I think 3 hours is... You know, I have enough time with him.
No, I can understand that. Excellent show. I particularly like the segment at 8:05 in the morning. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I find that that's the segment that has a lot of personality. A lot of personality. All right. Okay. So, look, all kidding aside, there's so many things to talk about tonight. And one of which was Anthony Richard scored the game-winning goal. And the second he did, I could picture our buddy Jean-Charles doing la tarantella at home. You know what la tarantella is?
Yeah, it's a sick dance.
It's a sick dance. That's right. Where you get up and you do a little bit of that, and then you put your arm, you cradle someone else's arm, and you spin a little bit left, and then you turn around, you spin a little bit right, and I could picture Jean-Charles doing a tarantella when Anthony Richard scored, because he's been asking for Anthony Richard for quite some time to be on this team. And there was an opportunity, of course, because this team is decimated with injuries. And I have to tell you, I really like this player a lot. And I liked him before tonight. He has NHL speed, NHL pace. If you saw that wrist shot that he scored on, he obviously has an NHL wrist shot and release. If he could put it all together, you never know. And of course, he's from La Belle Province, and he's proud to play on this team, but he scores the game-winning goal. The game was tied at 4 after 2 periods of play. He scores the goal to put them up by a score of 5-4 in period number 3, and then Josh Anderson adds an empty netter, and that's the way it ends, by a score of 6-4. What a goal by Anthony Richard.
Yeah, and I think on that sequence, Anthony Richard did what Anthony Richard knows best, which means taking the speed, use his speed to go out there to just make the other team forget about him and go score that important goal. And when you look at what he did with the Laval Rocket before on this season.
I like the way you said that, by the way, with the Laval Rocket.
Rocket.
With La Rocket. And by the way, I'm happy you brought them up, and I'll give you a chance to continue here. Daphne knows the Laval Rocket and their players better than most because she's been working their games for quite some time, okay? With, you know, with everybody. How many games have you worked over the past couple of years for Laval Rocket? Covering the Laval Rocket?
Yeah, it's been 3 years now.
3 years?
Yeah, I'm not there always with the radio schedule. It gets quite busy. But for the past 2 years, I've been there most of the time. And this year, you know, I've been there, I think, maybe half of the time.
Okay.
That they were in Laval. But yeah. I always look at the game. I always know everything that's going on with the team because I'm doing some interviews with the players. So, you know, I have to see the games. I have to watch what's going on there. And so, yeah, it's been 3 years. So it's crazy to see a guy like Raphaël Harvey-Pinard, a guy like Alex Belzile, coming with the Montreal Canadiens. And people are so surprised to see them there and the success that they had with the team so far. But, you know, for me, it's just like they did the work to get there and to have success with the big team. And Anthony Richard is another one of those guys, you know, who's in, we say in the hockey jargon.
Yeah. Lingo.
That, he's on the bubble, you know, he's quite too good for the AHL, not quite good enough maybe for the NHL.
Yeah.
But I mean, for me, it's always a question of which position that you put the players on. And when you're calling back those guys, you're calling them back for like what? A game or two, and that's it. And they go back in the AHL. So they don't have the time to prove themselves. But with the injuries that the Montreal Canadiens had, those guys had the chance to prove themselves more than just one or two games. And I think Anthony Richard, the first time that he came on this season, wow, my chair just, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay, the show must go on.
I don't know.
I'm getting too heavy for that chair.
No, you're not getting too heavy for the chair.
But Anthony Richard, the first time that he came on this season, I think he didn't quite had maybe the role that he needed to play in the team. And now that he's playing with the guy with like Belzile and you know, they're having this chemistry that was going on before with the Laval Rocket. So for them, it's just like a good opportunity to just shine and prove what they can bring to this team. And, you know, Anthony Richard said himself, he was disappointed with the way his first shot had gone. And when he got back to Laval, it had been a hard time for him. Just wondering what he could have done better to prove himself over and over. And, you know, since his call back, because, you know, Jean-Charles was going on for rooting for Anthony to have another chance. And because he deserved it, you know?
Yeah, and also that's, yes, he did deserve it. And that's also because that's the way Jean-Charles does his show, right? He'll just talk about every single Quebecer on the face of the earth should be on the Montreal Canadiens, should be on CF Montreal, should be on the Montreal Alouettes, and should get their opportunity, everything they do. And that's the way he does his show. And God love him. He's become a millionaire with that. Become a millionaire.
And, you know, you know, the Quebecers, the Frenchie, we need some defender for them. So it's okay that Jean-Charles does that.
Yeah, but he's part of leur défense.
Absolutely.
And he's the president of their fan club. There's nothing wrong with that. I do the same thing with the Italo-Canadians or Italo-Americans or Italians in general. Look, you know, the Canadians, the last time they won the Stanley Cup, Daff, they Absolutely. Had an Italian, Di Pietro. And the time before they won the cup, before that, they had another Italian, Momesso. So,
you know. The Frenchies need a militant comme Jean-Charles for them, rooting for them.
But oh, he's a militant. That's what you call it. And by the way, the term you were looking for, when a player is too good for the AHL, but kind of like maybe not good enough for the NHL long term, and he's kind of like on the bubble. The term is they call them tweeners.
Tweeners.
Yeah. I like that. He's a tweener.
In French, we say yes à bubble.
Yes à la bubble.
Yes à bubble.
Mais that's, you know, but someone who really wants to respect the French language would probably be offended by that, right? Because it's a franglais, right? It's not,
Absolutely.
La bubble is not really French.
You know why I'm losing my English? Because I'm trying so hard for the radio show to just like never have some English words or just like messing up the two languages. And I hope Jean-Charles is not listening right now because he's going to be pissed that I say yes à bubble.
Oh, really? I think I've heard him say that before.
Yeah, sometimes. You know what? He's good to, you know, just like be frustrated and just like piss at me because I use some English words sometimes. Yeah. I try not to most of the time. And when he does, it doesn't.
His grammar, doesn't by care. The way, his grammar, his way of speaking, it's really excellent. Crazy. My wife went to, she did her schooling in French. And when she started to listen to him, she told me, she goes, like, he communicates really, really well. His French is exceptional, she told me.
It's crazy. He's one of the rare people that can talk like he does. And you know what? He's always so colorful. And in the way that he explains some things, it's just like, how do you just do that in your head, but whatever.
Yeah, I've been doing it for 20 years.
But Anthony Richard, you know that he deserved this second chance. And you know, people were offended when they didn't call him back. They just, you know, got Chris Cherny. And it was because Anthony Richard is a really, really important piece with the Laval Roquette. And right now they're battling for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
And for an organization who's gonna be for, I don't know, many years, but for the next years in reconstruction, I think that it's really important that the team down there does the playoffs. So I feel like it was maybe the reason that he wasn't called back the first shot. But you know what? He did have his second chance. And he plays like he wants to prove that he belongs in the NHL long term.
You know, I know he said that he was disappointed with his first stint. But you know what? I thought he was good. And I thought he deserved to stay. And he didn't. And so now, on that note, we know that the Canadians are in a rebuild. The rebuild, you would think, will not be over next year unless they draft Connor Bedard. And even at that, they might still not make the playoffs. There are players that will leave this organization at the end of the year because their contract is up. And that'll mean opportunity for other players. So speaking of les gars de chez nous, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up some names. And you're going to tell me whether or not they're going to be on this team next year to start the season and why.
Okay.
So Anthony Richard, we'll start with him.
Oh, it's hard. It's hard because, you know, he's proving a lot of things, but when the injured guys are going to be back, that's when we're going to have a puzzle to play with. And I feel like maybe he is not going to be back with the Montreal Canadiens as soon as the season starts. But I feel like he's going to have a chance whenever they're having an injury or they're having a spot for him. But I feel like when the injured players are going to be back, maybe we don't have the space that we need for him. And it's hard. It's really hard. You're starting with him? Really?
Yeah.
It's hard.
So, okay. Alex Belzile, who picked up an assist tonight, he also picked up three penalties. Like, I don't know if he's ever picked up three penalties in a game ever. Yeah. Alex Belzile.
I feel like Belzile would have maybe more chance. I don't know. Maybe he has more experience than Anthony Richard. Maybe he proven more things because he had more time to prove himself.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe he's having more elements in his game that can really serve the abs on the fourth line. Because Anthony Richard, he's not really a fourth liner. And that's why I was saying that I feel like when the guys are called back from the AHL to the NHL, sometimes they're not in the good role that fits them. You know, when Charles Hudon was called back with the Montreal Canadiens,
he's another tweener.
It was absolutely, but it wasn't working because Charles Hudon is not a fourth liner. He is not. His DNA is not a fourth liner. So that's why it wasn't working out. I feel like if we have to choose between Alex Belzile and Anthony Richard, I think that we might go with Alex Belzile. But the decision will be, do we feel like Alex Belzile is going to be there when the team will need, you know, do we want to see him grow with the team? He's 31 already.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe it's going to be one of the many topics of the decision between Anthony Richard and Alex Belzile. Like, who do we want to see grow in this organization? Maybe Anthony Richard will be the pick. But never underestimate the leadership that Alex Belzile has. He is the captain with Laval. And he's the guy who, when Fred Allard came, just like, welcome him with David Savard. He's one of the leaders in the room, in the locker room.
C'est un bon vétéran.
And that's another important element.
C'est un bon vétéran.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, he had more than double Richard's ice time tonight because Richard had 7:21. He was the least utilized player by Marty St. Louis. And Belzile had 15 and a half minutes. And that's a lot considering that he spent 6 minutes in the penalty box. All right. Raphaël Harvey-Pinard, he's shown me enough. He has, but there are some who still doubt whether or not this guy's going to be on the team to start the season next year. I think he's going to be there. What do you think?
Yeah, for me, if we have to pick one, that's why I wanted you to come with this one first.
You wanted me to start easy.
We're hard on me.
Yeah.
But for me, Raphaël proved that he was more than just a hardworking player. He had hockey IQ that can really, really serve well the Canadiens. And I feel that he has proven enough to Martin St. Louis, but also to the whole organization that he's a guy that is going to be there, that's going to have a good work ethic, that's going to work hard every night, that has hockey IQ, that has skills that were underestimated. He was on a streak. He's a guy of streak. Like, when he's on a streak, he's going to be on a good streak.
Yeah, he's
going to
have
to manage the lows. He was in the ups. He's going to have to manage the lows. But for me, it's the guy that you wanted to have, you want to have now, and that you will want it to have when you're going to go at war, when the Montreal Canadiens were going to be in the phase of the rebuild that will want to take a step and start to win. He's the guy that you want to have in your team when you're going to war. You want to have him now, and you want to see him grow with the team and you want to have it in 3 or 4 years, I think he's going to start with the Canadians.
I just keep on looking at your place. I don't know why. It looks so cozy. Is that the kitchen area, or is that the island there on the left? What is that?
It's le petit îlot, là.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Yeah.
So we have all the
little island,
the little comptoir lunch.
Comptoir lunch. Yeah. The island. Yeah.
And then we have the living room.
The living room. Yeah.
Yeah. I was watching the game.
Okay.
And then the office.
Okay.
Bathroom. And there's my room.
Wow. Okay. Which neighborhood is this in? I'm curious.
In Rosemont. Last time I had I had my bike in my office, and people were like, "Oh, she's living on the plateau." Of course. Of course, because I'm riding a bike, I'm living on the plateau.
Okay. All right. Okay. So that's where you are. Good. Yeah. It's a nice, cozy place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. And I fit with my wall over there.
Yes, of course. 100%. Yeah, no. Yeah, I see that. Okay, so now they're not good, she knew, but he's also a player that was in Laval, an important player for them too. Jesse Ylönen scored a beautiful goal tonight. I mean, that shot, we talked about Anthony Richards. Richards, by the way, what a pass by Justin Barron, who sprung him free. Richard did a great job to go from skate to stick and then right away, quick release, beautiful. But also a great goal by Jesse Ylönen, who tied the score at 2. Once the Canadians were down 2-0, 4:49 into the game, they're down 2-0. Hoffman narrows the lead to 2-1. Another great pass by Barron to Pitlick with a drop pass to Hoffman. But how about Jesse Ylönen? Is he on this team next year? I'd rather see him than Joel Armia.
What do you want to see in Jesse Ylönen for the next games till the end of the season is consistency.
Yeah.
And I think that it was what maybe he hadn't have with the Laval Roquette. Like, you know, when he's good, he's really good. And he made me think a little bit about Joel Armia, which is not a good comparison. But he needs consistency in his play if he want to stay. He's a good player. He has really good hands. And no doubt about that, he can really be a weapon when they're entering the zone. I don't know if you see the way he's entering the zone. He's crashing the net, but he's never dropping the puck. He's always dribbling with the puck. He has really good hands that can be a really good weapon for that. But I feel like he needs to step up a little bit, maybe develop some other elements in his play that can make him a no doubt NHLer. Hey, I feel that there's a little bit of thing that is missing that I'm not sure he's going to be there next year.
I want to try something with you. How nearby is your remote control, your TV remote? Oh, right there. Can I see it for a second?
Yeah.
Perfect. Where's the power button?
There you go.
Just power off the TV for 1 second. Perfect. Okay, good.
Were you distracted?
No, I just didn't want to give anyone free advertising. If you're going to advertise on the podcast, you're going to pay.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no, you don't have to be sorry.
We saw my TV.
No, you don't have to be sorry at all. I'm playing with you because there's a Mike via YouTube Live who said, "Hey, Tony, tell her to shut off the
TV. Close the TV.
There's free advertising."
Sorry, Mike.
Yeah. So we got it. Hey, Claude Richard says, "I like your guest, who maybe is related to Anthony Richard, and you had so many nice things to say about Anthony Richard."
Thanks a lot, Claude.
Who doesn't like Daphne Malbeuf? Everybody likes Daphne Malbeuf. She's one of the most adored and loved people in all the sports media in Montreal and the province of Quebec. It's true.
Ben voyons.
Out of you, Stu Cowan, Georges Larac, Marc-André Perrault, Mitch Jaguar, Max Van Hoot, Charles-Alexis Brisebois, Scott Mantla, I'm probably and you leaving some out. There's so many that are join us on this program as the collaborators, right?
Yeah.
You're my, you know, you're my favorite collaborator. Yeah.
I
took a while to get you on. It took a while to get you on.
I know. I'm busy,
I had to go through your agent.
Yeah, he's a tough one, right?
Tough. Jeez. By the time this show is all said and done, I don't know if we're going to make any money. We never had to negotiate this hard before in our lives. I'm telling you, she took us to the cleaners.
And you know what? He's taking most of it.
Oh, really? No, no, no.
But you he's a good one.
Hey, George Larac, who's your colleague at BPM Spa.
Yep.
You're on with Jean-Charles starting at 5:30 a.m. until 9 a.m., like we said. And George is on from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Dans le monde de Georges. I said that I think Gurianov could end up becoming a steal. And I said, I love his wrist shot. I love his snapshot. I love his slap shot. I love his release. I think he's got a nose for the net. Before tonight's game, he had 3 goals in 8 games. And I said that this could end up being a revelation. This player could end up being a revelation on the Canadiens. Georges started laughing at me. He told me that he's unbelievably inconsistent. He's almost terrible. And the most that he's ever going to get is going to be one more year with the Canadiens next year, but then he's gone. There's no way this player is going to be long-term with the Montreal Canadiens. Now, I don't know if I'm going to be right. I don't know if George is going to be right. The beauty of what we do of talking sports is that it's very subjective. It's very opinionated. Your opinion doesn't have to be right or wrong, and maybe it'll take time before it actually is. If you had to say right now, 4 goals in 9 games for Gurianov, do you think he can continue this going forward?
We've seen the inconsistency. That's why I don't like about this prediction. I don't feel that it's going to be a steal, but I feel like maybe like a Kirby Doc playing for Martin St. Louis, playing for this team who never gives up. Like, how can you be inconsistent and doing nothing when all of your teammates are doing the work? I mean, if I was Dadonov before he was gone and Hoffman, I would be ashamed. So maybe with Gurianov, is going to have the nice effect that it had on Kirby Doc, and it's going to motivate him to add this consistency in his play. But I right now, I can't say that he's going to be a steal for the Montreal Canadiens. I need more time to evaluate him because I've seen the inconsistency. But when he's good, he's really good.
Like I mentioned to George Deff, I said if he wasn't inconsistent, obviously Dallas would have kept him, right? So he's not perfect. He's not perfect. He obviously has flaws. That's why he was traded. Dallas saw some flaws. But at the same time, think about this, okay? He was on his third coach with Dallas, if memory serves me well. I believe Montgomery was the first. I believe Bonus was the second. And Peter DeBoer was the third.
Right.
He played very well with Montgomery in the regular season. He played very well with Bonus in the playoffs. And he didn't play all that well with Peter DeBoer.
Yeah.
It was with Bonus that
he had success in the playoffs and then the DeBoer came.
I think he had scored 20 goals with Montgomery in the regular season. Okay. So he was doing pretty well with the exception of, you know, in the last year or so. And so now he joins a team that has Marty St. Louis. And if there's anyone who can get him going, it's Marty. Now, think of it. Like, I understand that Gurianov and Cole Caulfield are two different players, right?
Yeah.
But I believe Gurianov is an offensive player. I believe he's got more offensive instincts than he has defensive instincts.
Yeah.
And look at what St. Louis was able to do for Caulfield and what Caulfield wasn't able to do previously under Dominic Ducharme. And, you know, I don't think Gorianov has Caulfield's upside, obviously, in terms of scoring goals. But I really believe that Gorianov is a guy that can have 25 goals in him. I really believe that they can, like, he can have that in him. He scored 20 already. The playoffs, he scored 9. I think there was a game where he had scored 3 or 4. He's got a terrific shot.
Yeah. And he got speed. He got a lot of speed. I think he can be, I join you on that.
Yeah.
I think he can be a really good asset for the first line with Suzuki and Caulfield. I feel like, you know, with Kirby Doc, we found the good recipe, but Kirby Doc in the best position, he would be the second centerman, right?
Yeah.
So we need to find someone who can complete the first line with Suzuki and Caulfield. And I feel that Gorianov, maybe this guy.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe I would try Raphaël Harvey-Pinard on the first line too.
Well,
next year.
If Doc is going to be your second line centerman and he's not going to be a winger for that line, I think the reality is that of everyone on this team, there's no one good enough and or consistent enough to be regularly on that line from start of the season to the end of the season. Mm. So you're going to have to do it by committee. So you go with Raphaël Harvey-Pinard until he's not hot anymore.
Yeah.
And then you go with Gorianov until he's not hot anymore. And then you go with Josh Anderson until he's not hot anymore. And then you go with Slafkovský until he's not hot anymore. So I think those four players that I just mentioned, I think those are four players, if you keep Doc at center, that will end up having time on that line with Suzuki and Caulfield next season.
Absolutely. And I think Gorianov, you know, he has some good hands.
Yeah.
Feeding Caulfield, feeding... I'm curious to see how that will go, how that would end up. But I feel you. Like, I'm with you on this one. Like, I feel that it's going to be by committee.
Yeah. And you know what? Like you said, he skates like the wind, eh?
Crazy.
He believes he can fly.
Crazy.
He believes he can fly.
He believes he can fly. Maybe not touch the sky.
He believes he can touch the sky.
If he
thinks
can go
about
all
it
around
every it. Night and day. Spread his wings and fly away. He believes he can soar. He believes running through that open door. By the way,
that's what we want. Fly through that open door, Gurianov. Go score those goals.
You are out of all the people I've gone on air with to sing, you are without a doubt the best voice.
Thank you, Tony. My years in opera would have served me good for what was next to come, which is
so you
my
sang
singing
before,
career
right?
on a sports radio station.
No. So you sang before. You have experience in singing. You sang before, correct?
Yeah. Actually, when I was in elementary school, I went to music school.
Oh, really?
From grade 3 to 6. So it was a half of the day we were doing music and half of the day academic. And after that, I went to high school and I did opera.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you haven't done it in how long?
Oh, my God. I've stopped. I was about 10 years.
You should start again.
Yeah. I would love to. Unfortunately, my
why don't you take singing lessons on my
too busy.
Why don't you take singing lessons on my wife's dance studio?
Ooh,
we can set you up with someone private, one on one, and you book whenever you're free.
Man,
no,
I'm up
for
that.
You're the best voice. The only one who came close was Peter from Côte Saint-Luc. Did you ever hear Peter sing?
No.
Peter from Côte Saint-Luc, a beautiful voice.
Oh,
yeah,
I would love to hear that. But
probably,
thank you for the,
probably
the, nice words.
The best hockey mind in the city of Montreal, not working in hockey or in media, but as far as a fan is concerned, Peter from Côte Saint-Luc, probably the best hockey mind out there.
You know what? He has everything. He can sing.
Yes.
He can talk about hockey.
Do you ever hear him talk about the team concept?
Is he married? No. What?
Do you ever hear him talk about team concept?
No.
Team concept, total emotion and motivation. How's that? Yes. And Peter, when the Canadians played the Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs a couple of years ago, and they were down 3-1.
Yeah.
He called me when I was working in radio, when radio was radio, when I was working in radio. It's not the same. Not on the English side. And he called, and he gave a tip to Dominique Ducharme, which completely changed the entire series around. Double shift your best players. And he did that. And luckily, Toronto did not. And the series turned around.
Crazy, right?
Double shift your best players.
I mean, do you coach to win? When it's in playoffs,
yeah.
You need to coach to win, right? And I feel like he's right about a lot of things.
Yeah.
And we've seen that with the Penguins. Maybe not tonight, but culture, identity, it's so much important in a sport that is so a collective effort. And when you see the Penguins having success over the years with Crosby, Malkin getting older, the window who's closing by each year that is gone to. But you know what? Despite the ages of the age of those guys, they're competitive. Look at the Bruins. They're competitive. No. Yeah. Even if we're like, oh no, they're getting too old. They don't have that many players that who's going to push them through.
Yeah.
No, because this team has an identity, a culture of winners.
You're right.
And they're making.
And a great captain.
Ordinary. Absolutely. But ordinary players become great players.
Yeah.
Players like Crosby and Malkin can just like make other around better.
Yeah.
And I feel like your guy. Well, what is his name again?
Peter from Côte Saint-Luc.
Peter from Côte Saint-Luc.
Double shift your best players.
Yeah, but
yeah.
In his mentality of the hockey,
yeah,
everything's there. Like
this guy's the best.
Absolutely.
All right, okay. I so appreciate your time. I'm going to throw the number out there because I'm going to end up taking calls at 1-888-585-SICK, 1-888-585-7425. To tell you the truth, I wouldn't even mind taking them with you. I thought it would have been cool. But you're on air at 5:30 tomorrow morning, which means you're going to be in studio at, what, 4:45?
You think 4:30? I'm getting... Oh, Tony. Oh, dear Tony. You have... No clue. No, I'm getting at a radio station at 3:30.
Why?
Because I need to work.
But you can. You
there's
can already...
a lot of things that I prepared the night before, but there's a lot of things that is happening. But after I'm going to bed, so I need to work. I need to prep.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah.
So go to bed before you do. Agnello and Sammy, can you bring up the lyrics, please?
Oh, are you? I had them prepared. Okay.
Oh, really? Okay. I want you to do it by yourself. Because I want everyone to see the beauty, like just to hear the beauty of your voice.
Okay.
They already saw your beauty. Now they're going to hear your beauty. Okay.
Oh, so my God.
I introduced this song to Jean. Well, I introduced this song. I made Jean-Charles and Daphne aware of it on BPM Spa. And every now and then we sing the song. And when we do, everyone sends messages to the text message line saying that my voice is terrible. And then Daphne's got a voice of an angel.
Oh,
the best
voice,
the best singing voice in radio.
Holding me on
and out of all, you know, out of all celebrities who aren't singers, you have the second best voice after Alan from The Hangover.
Wow, you're okay, I'm so honored to be comparing to. Wow.
You watched The Hangover, right?
Absolutely.
You saw when his father died at the eulogy?
Hey, he's like singing like an absolute angel.
A voice of an angel. a voice of an angel.
I love the comparison.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're putting me on the spot. I don't feel like my voice is going to be that nice at 10:35, but you know what?
10:45.
I don't care.
Yeah. Go for it. 10:45. We're not going to play
acapella. Acapella.
Yeah, we have to. You want to know why? Because this is copyright. And if we play the music on YouTube,
absolutely.
It's strike one. And three strikes, we're out. And you know what? We're making, you know, a really nice living right now. And I don't want to be kicked out on YouTube. I want this to continue as long as it can because I want to buy that condo in Florida.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
you deserve it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Senti nell'aria c'è già la nostra canzone d'amore che va come un pezzo orchestra di felicità. Senti nell'aria c'è già un raggio di sole più caldo che va. Come un serio cessa di felicità.
Wow. All right. So now that, okay. So now,
my voice is not great at 10:45.
Okay. So now, before you go, accompany me. We'll do it together right from the start for about 30 seconds or so here. I need you to basically insulate me so I don't sound terrible. Perfect. Let's do it together. You ready?
Yeah. Let's go.
On three. One, two, three. Felicità. E tenersi per mano, andare lontano, la felicità. E tuo sguardo innocente, in mezzo alla gente, la felicità. E restare vicini come bambini, la felicità.
Felicità.
Felicità. E un cuscino di piume, l'acqua del fiume che passa e che va.
E la pioggia che scende dentro le tende,
la felicità.
E abbassare la luce per fare pace, la felicità.
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 Felicità. E un bicchiere di vino con un panino,
la felicità.
E lasciate un biglietto dentro al cassetto, la felicità. E cantare due voci, quanto mi piace, la felicità. Felicità, Daffy! Senti, nell'aria c'è già la nostra canzone d'amore che va.
Come un cielo di felicità.
Senti nell'aria c'è già un raggio di sole più caldo che va. Come un sorriso che sa di felicità. And my buddy Peter from Côte Saint-Luc would say, felicità, gagnero, vincero, gagnero, felicità. Daff, have a great one. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 8:05.
It was a pleasure, and I feel that my neighbors are like, what the hell is she singing?
Well, you know what? If they knock on your door and they say, what are you doing? You tell them, I was on the Sick Podcast. He's Marinaro.
He's Marinaro. Or God de chez nous.
And God de chez nous. Salut, Daff. À demain. All right. There you have it. The fantastic Daphne Malbeuf. We'll open up the phone lines at 1-888-585-7425. How did you like that? If you liked it, huh? Comment sick right now. S-I-C-K. 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 CK, yes, comment sick, like it, and share it with your buddies, share it with your friends. And if you listen to us on Google, Apple, or Spotify, leave us a 5-star review because the more 5-star reviews we get, the better ratings we get, the happier we're going to be. That's the way it works. That's it. 1-888-585-7425. And Yellow and Sammy and Master Control, you tell me who called. It's you called.
You called. Presented by Playground.
By Playground, major poker festivals are back at Playground. The March Million features 10 ring events and $1 million in guaranteed prize pools, including a $400,000 guaranteed main event play in Playground's March Million Poker Series from March 23rd to April 2nd. Visit playground.ca for details. We'll bring up some questions. We'll bring up some comments. And I have a feeling tonight we're going to get a lot of phone calls. We're going to get a lot of reaction to Daphne Malbeuf, who appeared now on the Sick Podcast for the second time. But the first time, just her and me, because the first time we had Marc-André Perrault was in the middle, like holding the candle, right? But Perrault is going to be back. He's going to go solo tomorrow. 1-888-585-7425. It's a toll-free number. You can grab your cordless phone at home. You can call me. You can still take a look at your iPad, your tablet, your MacBook, whatever you have, your phone, and still watch the podcast while it's going on while you call me, and we talk apps. We'll talk whatever you want, by the way. Samuel Piette officially announced as team captain for CF Montreal earlier this evening in a night in which they met their members at Club Soda, introduced the team, the technical staff, the coaching staff, the management team, the president, pretty much everyone. And they made that announcement official. It was nice the way they did it. They introduced Mauro Biello, of course, is a legend with the club. And they mentioned, the captain will now be Samuel Piette. And Mauro Biello took out a captain's armband and he put it on Samuel Piette. It was a nice touch. It was very, very fitting. Very, very nice. By the way, the Sick Podcast, we do have a CF Montreal podcast, which is called the Sick Podcast CF Montreal Talk. If you want, you can follow it on Twitter at Sick Pod. CFMTL at SickPod CFMTL, and it has a separate YouTube channel which you can subscribe to. It's absolutely for free. Where are we going here? Who wants to be the first one on after me and Daff? Says somebody via YouTube Live, Tony is a Ted Teeven wannabe. No, I'm not. Ted Teeven was Ted Teeven, and Tony Marinaro is Tony Marinaro. If Tony Marinaro wanted to be a Ted Teeven wannabe, well, then Tony Marinaro would pull out the machine gun with the chocolate bullets and he would be, shooting away. I don't do that. If Tony Marinaro wanted to be a Ted Teeven wannabe, he would be talking about Tropicana orange juice. He would be talking about Diamond Taxi. He'd be talking about Union Taxi. He'd be talking about the Auberge Chamadien, room 321 with the Whirlpool. He would be talking about Chinois. He would be talking about a lot of things. He would be talking horse racing every day. As a matter of fact, he'd probably be talking horse racing for more than half his show. So Tony Marinaro is not a Ted Teeven wannabe. Tony Marinaro loved Ted Teeven. Tony Marinaro idolized Ted Teeven. Tony Marinaro was inspired by Ted Teeven. After listening to Ted Teeven, Tony Marinaro knew that he wanted to work in radio. But Ted Teeven had his style and Tony Marinaro has his. Ted Teeven is a legend. And for me, he was very, very unique, and he was awesome. And, I think I'm pretty sick, too, in all humility. I think so. I think 20-year career, hosting 10 a.m. to noon, no budget for guests. No brochures, no pamphlets, no billboards, not on the back of a bus. Did pretty well in the ratings, pretty well. Was the top rated show on more than one occasion, which is pretty difficult to do. So I'm very, very happy with what we were able to accomplish. And I'm very, very happy with what we've been able to accomplish with this podcast. And sometimes we make numbers public and sometimes we don't. But I'll tell you this. In the last 28 days on all social media platforms, the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro has reached 3.5 million homes and has been listened to via audio over 105,000 times. So we're growing every day. Agnello and Sammy, you want to bring up some comments, questions, calls, whatever you want. Johnny says, Tony, you're right about Gurianov. I think it's too early to say whether I'm right or George is wrong, but I'm very impressed with what I see. And he's passed my eye test for now. Next. Why doesn't Montembeau get enough love from the Habs fans? I think he's a good goalie. You know what? For a guy who gave up four goals tonight, I thought he was absolutely unbelievable. I thought he was fantastic. He made so many big stops. It was amazing. Amazing. Martin. Salut, Martin.
Hey, salut, Tony. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Fine, fine. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Where are you calling me from?
Saint-Jean-sur-Richelieu.
Saint-Jean-sur-Richelieu. I used to go to Le Super Neuf.
Yeah, it's sort of Chambly, though.
Yeah, it's more Chambly. It's more Chambly, yes. But it's not far from Saint-Jean-sur-Richelieu, Super Neuf?
No, no. I'm from Saint-Jean, and we used to go there, so.
You used to go there, eh? So, you know what? How old are you, Martin?
47.
I'm 50. You know what that means? That means when I was going, you were probably going, and you and I were probably in the club at the same time on the same night. As a matter of fact, we were probably sitting at the bar next to each other, and I had no idea that you were Martin, and you had no idea that I was Marinaro. No, think about it. Right?
So you were at the bar, you weren't dancing with me?
No, listen. This is what I used to do. I used to go to the bar. I used to scope the situation from the bar. Then I would take a walk and I would scope the dance floor. Sometimes I would have to scope it twice. And then I would make my move. That's it.
All right, like a tart. Yeah, all right.
That's it.
Tony.
Yeah. I had a line, by the way, that I had a lot of success with. I struck out every now and then, but I didn't like to look at the strikeouts. I looked at, you know, and my line was, I said to Jose, I said, Jose, je vais être bien être avec toi, avec moi, c'est pas pour la vie, c'est pour la nuit.
Oh. And it worked.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it worked a couple of times.
That's hot.
Worked a couple of times. What's going on? What are you talking
about? About the Canadians, I was looking at the lineup and trying to figure out the lineup for the next, let's say, next 2 years.
Yeah.
And for the forwards, we don't have much, huh? Like, we're not training much, like Slavkovsky, a couple of third liners looks promising. Of course, Suzuki, Caulfield. And then what?
But you need to understand that the Canadians are going to be banking going forward on Suzuki, Caulfield, Kirby Doc, Juraj Slavkovsky, Philip Mishar. Here's another guy in the draft that, you know, Owen Beck's going to play on this team within a couple of years. There's no doubt about it. I think that there's a chance that Emil Heinemann plays on this team going forward. Let's not forget, you know, they're going to have a couple of draft picks this year. And should they lose more games and should they win the lottery, you could have a generational talent.
Who are eager to be in the playoff run and stuff. Like, it's a 3-4 years horizon to me for those guys to come here. And
Sean Farrell has a lot of talent. Joshua Roy, you know, you're right. There's no one, but Martin, next year, chances are the Canadians are not making the playoffs again, man. Like, I hate to tell you that, but that's what, you know, you don't go from Martin, you don't go from 32nd to 28th to 15th. Like, you don't skip steps. You do things nice and slow, see? That's the way. Did you ever watch the Flintstones?
Yeah.
You remember the episode? Nice and slow, see? That's the way. Nice and slow. Yeah. Don't go too fast in life.
That is just because,
in life, it's not a sprint. That,
like 1 year, 2 year, and yeah. we're gonna be running. But
I think next year they'll miss the playoffs. I think they'll miss the playoffs next year, and I think the year after that they're gonna be a playoff team. And then I think by that point, when they're a playoff team, they're gonna be very competitive. And I think a couple of years after that, they're gonna be a contender. And then maybe a year after that, they're going to be a legitimate contender. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. People will look back one day, and I might end up sounding like an idiot. I believe the duo of Gordon and Hughes will deliver a Stanley Cup to Montreal. I really believe that. I'm not prepared to say that Marty St. Louis will as a coach, because if it takes 6 or 7 years, I don't know if Marty St. Louis is going to be coaching this team for 8 years or 9 years. I do believe that Marty St. Louis is going to be coach of this team for a very, very long time. But usually, you know, VPs of hockey operations and general managers have a longer shelf life than a coach, usually. And I think they're going to end up winning a Stanley Cup one day. So this is the way I see it happening. But, you know, Martin, no one's ever told you in life it's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't see Slavkovsky being like a top player before like 3 or 4 years.
You're probably right. Take a look. It took Tage Thompson like 5 years, right?
Yeah. So, all right.
Yeah.
Sounds
yeah.
good.
Hey, Super Neff still open or what?
I don't think so.
C'est fermé, ça.
Tony.
You know what we're going to do, Martin, you know what we're going to do? Agnello and I have been talking about it, okay? When the hockey season comes to an end, we're going to have a 5 set somewhere in Montreal. We're going to pick an amazing location. And we're going to have everyone who watches us on YouTube Live, Facebook Live, Twitter Live. It's going to be open to everyone. And you know what? We end up getting 500, 600, 700, 800, 900, sometimes 1,000 people on watching at the same time. We'd like to have everyone there. I'll invite all the collaborators. We'll make sure that Daphne Malbeuf is there. All the collaborators that join us on the program. And we'll have a 5 cassette. I hope to meet you there because you and I were probably standing next to each other or sitting next to each other at Super Neuf. And I didn't know you were Martin and you didn't know I was Marinaro. And now, 30 years later, we talk to each other and you say, I used to go there when I was 18, 19, 20. And I used to go there when I was 18, 19, 20. Isn't that something?
The circle is complete.
The circle is complete. We'll talk to you soon. Martin, what a guy. Merci beaucoup, Martin, d'avoir appelé The Sick Podcast. Un podcast qui est malade, mon chum. C'est malade, le podcast. C'est malade. It's sick. That was Martin. It's 11:03. My back is killing me. I don't want to take off my shirt, but I put a patch on tonight. I think it was called Salon Pass. Salon Pass, I believe. It's got some kind of analgesic or whatever. My back is like killing me, right? And I should be going to bed right now. I'm even going to take something for muscle spasms. And Sammy and Master Control and Agnello, they're throwing on people in the private chat. They're sending me names at 100 miles an hour. I have 17 people on hold right now that want to talk to me. 17. By the time the show will finish, it'll be 1 o'clock in the afternoon. 1 o'clock in the morning and my back is killing me. These guys are the best. Let's go to Glenn in NDG.
Hey, Tony, how are you?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, not too much. Long time listener.
Hey, welcome, welcome. Somebody just wrote on Twitter, on the YouTube, imagine Tony doing a podcast topless. Should I do it topless?
I don't know about that, buddy. I don't know about that.
You know what? I would do it if we would raise some money and give money to charity.
Breast cancer? No, I'm just kidding.
We can choose whatever you want, but, you know, there's one cause that holds a special place in my heart, and that's families of SMA, spinal muscular atrophy, because obviously it's what has it's what Sammy's been going through all his life. So if we can raise money for families of spinal muscular atrophy, I would do a show with my top off. So what? Everyone's going to laugh at me? Make them laugh.
I'll donate.
Or else what we can do is we can say that it's going to happen in X amount of months this way. It'll actually inspire me and motivate me even more to go to the gym, lose weight and all that stuff, right? We can do that too.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that too. What's on your mind, my man?
So I listen.
You realize, NDG, you and I, we're very close, eh? I'm in LaSalle right now.
Of course.
We're like a 12-minute drive, probably.
Exactly. I know you always go to that casual spa over there. So
been there many times.
Jean Talon more often. That's where I go. So
you go on the Dakari location. Yeah. Say hi to my friend Emil when you see him.
I will.
Emil the thrill.
Emil the thrill. So I have a more positive, the way I see things. Obviously, today is a bad day. You should have lost, but what are you going to do? You can lose them all. But the way I see it is that, you started naming all the young players and the prospects and so on. And obviously, you need depth and so on, but to have a competitive team. But I don't feel that we're 4 years off, just because every time you have a team that's close to the playoffs, every time they upgrade at the deadline, they have two or three guys they get a deadline, number 12 and 13 forwards, they get a number 5, 6 defensemen. So I just feel like with 10 really good forwards and 4 or 5 really good defensemen, you don't need to have those 18 great players and we only need to wait 4 or 5 years. I don't think we're just that far away. With Suzuki, Caulfield, Doc, Slavkovsky, the number one pick is going to be a top 5 or top 7.
Yeah.
You mentioned Mishar, Owen Beck. That's like 8, 9 guys, right? I'm not saying Beck and Mishar and Slavkovsky are for sure going to be, top 6 or top 9 players, but I'll bet that one of these three and Sean Farrell is at least going to make the team. So just go with the odds.
Glenn, basically what you're saying is there's no perfect team in the National Hockey League. Every team is missing something. And if the Canadians can get a top 6 out of the way, a top 4 on D, and a number 1 goalie, you're ahead of the game. The other stuff is easier to find. It's easier to find third liners, fourth liners, third pairing D, and a backup goalie. That's easier. The other stuff is harder.
Absolutely. And like I said, the Barkley Goodrows and all these guys, you get a deadline.
Yeah, Barkley Goodrow. Yes, Barkley Goodrow. They have to find someone like that, but that his name ends in E-A-U. So it could be a good chenu. Goodrow.
Exactly. But
this way they can all be happy. Understand? Facciamo tutto contento, voglio.
No, intendi.
Glenn.
But
leave NDG one day and take a drive to beautiful Villa Sal.
I will.
All right. Scope the situation. And, the best looking person you'll see in La Salle, that'll be me. And that's the way you find Marinaro.
All right.
Hey, bud. Thanks for calling the Sick Podcast. I appreciate it, man. Tell your friends about it. Weeknights, Monday to Friday, 10 p.m. We go for about an hour at least. Tonight I went for an hour 10, give or take. Let's get in yellow and Sammy on before we say goodbye.
What's up?
How are you?
Good. You?
Very, very good. If I was working at another company, I would have my card. I'd punch in and I'd punch out.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Get it?
So here we don't do the whole punch in and punch out.
Nope.
But now I'm on about 8 minutes overtime.
Yep.
Now 8 minutes overtime tonight, 10 minutes overtime last night, 20 minutes overtime the night before. These overtimes, they're starting to add up. What I'd like to know, and I brought you on live here so that everyone can witness the whole thing,
yep,
probably give their opinion too. What do we do with all these accumulations of these minutes of overtime? Do they end up leading to more vacation days? Do they get paid a time and a half? What's the story here?
In time, we were just discussing that. We're gonna get you. We're gonna get you a free trip.
Oh, really?
Yeah, to Saint-Jean-Richelieu.
It must be too long. What am I gonna go do in Saint-Jean-Richelieu?
You try to find Super Neuf, I guess.
When I was 18 years old, I had many motivations to go to Saint-Jean-Richelieu. But now, 50 years old and married, where am I going?
Everybody's still talking about you. C'est pas pour la vie. Everybody's still talking about you.
C'est pas pour la vie. I had a couple of them. One of them was, José, je vais être bien être avec toi. C'est pas pour la vie. C'est pour la nuit. The other one was, écoute, ma belle.
You can't
say it. No, the other one was, si tu veux sortir avec moi, tu veux passer du temps avec moi, mais prends un numéro puis attends ton tour. You know what I mean? Take a number. It's like when you go to the Société des Automobiles du Québec. You know, you go there, you got to take a number. You got to wait your turn. It was the same thing with me. The same thing.
I think they're still waiting 30 years later.
Last ride, pay Tony and cannolis. And by the way, even though I know it rhymes better, Tony Cannoli, than anything else, full disclosure, I prefer a good Zeppoli over a good cannoli.
Yeah, it's time of the year.
It is that time of the year, yes.
Yes.
It is that time of the year.
Yes.
Now, a Zeppoli, for those who are not aware, would kind of would be fried dough, correct?
Yep.
There are some establishments that do it baked dough, by the way. Fried dough or baked dough, and you put a ricotta cream, or you can put custard, or you can put different flavors. Yep. And this is it's an Italian tradition. St. Joseph's Day is on. Do you know the date? Because I do.
Nope.
It's March 19th.
March 19th.
It's on March 19th. And so usually what happens is pastry shops about a month before will start already making Zeppelis leading up to St. Joseph's Day. And most pastry shops stop making Zeppelis after St. Joseph's Day. But some of them actually pretty much can make them year-round or maybe 6 months a year or whatever. But most of them make them give or take for about 4 to 6 weeks leading up to St. Joseph's Day and right after.
If Easter's close by, they use them for Easter as well.
And, oh, yeah, they could use them for Easter. You're right about that. So they'll probably extend it, up until after Easter. You're right about that. Okay, so Daphne Malbeuf, she's something or what?
Excellent. Excellent guest.
Nice voice, eh?
Yeah, we should get her on more often. Her singing.
We should get her on more often.
I couldn't believe her voice. It was incredible.
Her agent, though, was like the most aggressive out of all the agents that we've dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, agent was, it took a while today.
We managed.
It was a tough negotiation, but we were able to pull it off.
Yeah.
You know, we have Sammy there. We have all the financial backing that we need.
Her voice is phenomenal.
Her voice is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely is. All right. I'm going to go take a pill for my back.
Okay.
So hopefully this back feels better tomorrow. Before I end up letting you go, to fix this back, osteo or chiro? It's right here.
Osteo.
Up here.
Osteo. Always osteo.
Look, you see the patch? You don't see the patch.
Yeah.
You see it?
Yep. Don't take off your shirt. No, don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, my God. Okay, here we go. Okay, we're letting you go off. Thank you, everybody. I'm Marinaro. We're gone.
No. You're Cavallaro. I'm Marinaro. Good night.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. The Sick Podcast is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group, driven to be different. La Vida TV. Embrace your true nature.